Our scripture reading for today comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer, you're doing good and you endure it. This is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Grace. I want to say a big thank you to Emmy and all those who helped organize the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner event that was in many locations last night. Can you raise your hand if you're involved? I just want to see. Oh, yeah, there's many of you, and in the first service as well. A wonderful opportunity, and it takes a huge amount of coordination. So thank you, Emmy, and your team. I know in the home we were in, it was a great time. There was, some of us did not know each other at all, and we came away as friends. So a very excellent thing. Keep in mind the July 1st barbecue after the service. We're going to go to the parking lot. We're inviting the neighbors. Bring your friends. Invite them. Our neighbors are not just the ones who live in the neighborhood of the church, but your friends, your neighbors. Invite them. And don't tell Pastor Callum, you know, the thing with the dunk tank, you notice my name wasn't mentioned because I'm playing in the jazz combo, right? So, you know, if you want to get out of that, you just got to find another way to help. It's, yeah. Thank you, Grace, again for reading the scripture. It's really quite a challenging passage. But before we get directly into it, I want you to picture a scenario which you've probably all seen. If you've ever spent a few minutes observing young children playing games in the playground or in the schoolyard, you're likely to hear lots of happy sounds, excited voices, energetic squeals and calls, and lots of laughter. But if you listen long enough, until something goes wrong, you're also likely to hear a certain phrase. Sooner or later, at least one of the children, if not many of them, will yell out, "Not fair!" And often an argument will erupt over the rules of the game. Or perhaps the offended child, if they don't win their case, they will simply try twice as hard to win the game and show them all that they were right. Or perhaps they will quit. They will walk away. Because who wants to play a game where the rules aren't fair? Does it bug you when the rules aren't fair? Does it bug you when life isn't fair? I know it bugs me. And I have to admit, I haven't faced anything truly terrible or tragic. But, you know, little things annoy me. And I'm quick to say, at least on the inside, it's not fair. Hopefully no one hears me yelling out loud. But I know that many of you have faced grievous injustices. I know of one person in our church who was injured 7 years ago through someone else's negligence. And because of her injury, she's been unable to work. She's had great difficulty getting medical care. She's been fighting with the court system for 7 years. That's a long time to wait for justice. And she's still waiting. Some of you know firsthand that life can be very unfair. When I was given this passage to preach on, and I opened my Bible a couple weeks ago to read it, and it talks about slaves and cruel masters, I have to tell you, my first reaction was, it's not fair that I have to preach on this. I mean, what about Callum or Doris, right? But Pastor Callum is in New Life this Sunday, so it's my turn. And we're working through 1 Peter, so God has a message for us and for me here today. In today's passage, Peter is talking to people who face great injustices, often through no fault of their own. Life has not been fair. Now, Peter is not talking here about when we misbehave and we reap the consequences. When we do something we know is wrong and get the consequences, somewhere deep inside, we know that it actually is fair, even though we still find it frustrating. The last time I got a parking ticket, I was very annoyed. I thought I had good reason to park there. I was in a hurry. I had to visit someone in the hospital, and there's no parking around hospitals. And I thought I found the last remaining spot on planet Earth near VGH, but I got a parking ticket. And when I looked at the circumstances and where I was parked, I had to admit, I clearly broke the rules. It wasn't unfair. I broke the rules. I got the consequences. Now, Peter is not talking about that sort of situation, but nor is he talking about truly tragic situations where simply no one is at fault, even though these can be terribly painful. Because we live in a fallen world, we sometimes suffer in situations that are totally unrelated to anything we did. There may be no one at fault. And we face these kind of situations all the time in life. And sometimes they are truly tragic. A hardworking employee may suffer from downsizing and lose their job. A family may be forced to relocate due to escalating housing costs. Or a person with a healthy lifestyle dies unexpectedly. And in these situations, we often question God, saying, "Where are you, God?" And like Job, we find no easy answers. It's just not fair. These situations are incredibly painful and life-changing. But in this passage, Peter is talking about yet another scenario that goes even further. That is when we suffer as a direct result of doing good. This is not suffering the consequences of our wrong actions, nor is it suffering from what seems like random chance. It is suffering precisely because we tried to do good. Several years ago, I met a pastor who lived in a community with many social challenges, and he sometimes intervened to help people at his own risk. A year or so later, I heard that he had in fact done so again. He happened to stop at a gas station where he was filling up his vehicle, and while he was there at the gas station, he noticed a man threatening a woman, and he was about to attack her violently. So this pastor stepped in between the two people, hoping to protect the woman. The angry man then struck the pastor in the head and in the abdomen and knocked him unconscious. That pastor suffered a concussion and a broken rib, but his recovery took far longer than expected. It stretched from weeks into months into years, and he eventually had to resign from his position. He couldn't work. He couldn't handle any stress. He suffered in a life-altering way, all because he tried to help someone else. I'm sure some of you could tell other stories of great injustice done to people who are only trying to help. Perhaps you yourself have suffered in this way. This kind of suffering puts us on a very difficult journey as we try to sort out the many questions and many conflicting emotions. We usually feel anger, first of all, at the people who mistreated us, But often we feel angry also at God, even betrayed by him. After all, doesn't God promise to look after us, his children, especially when we try to do good? The Bible does not hide the fact that life is full of these kind of injustices. And God does not ask us to pretend that we don't feel angry, bitter, or at least confused. Many of the Psalms were written by people like David, who in his deep despair at the cruelty he suffered, wrote things like, for example, Psalm 109, verses 4 and 5. He wrote there, "In return for my friendship, they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship." Maybe you know what this is like. Jesus certainly does. These Bible verses are prophetic. They describe some of Jesus' own experience centuries later. This psalm is later quoted in the book of Acts as referring to Judas's betrayal of Jesus. God himself, in the person of Jesus, has entered into this experience of being betrayed. Jesus knows firsthand what it is like to do good for others, only to be betrayed and abused by those he tried to help. When Peter writes about suffering for doing good, he wants to encourage us. In verse 20, he says that if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Peter singles out this type of suffering, suffering for doing good, as commendable. But in many ways, this general passage, Peter's other words, don't feel very encouraging. He is, in fact, telling us not to be surprised if we suffer for doing good. In fact, we should expect it. In verse 21, Peter says, "To this you were called." We are called to follow Jesus to the point of expecting to be mistreated at times, even when we do good. Why? Peter writes, "Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." We will all face injustice and suffering in this life. It is a fact of life. We are not removed from this reality because we follow Jesus. In fact, we will face even more of it. And we will often find no answers for our questions of why is this happening to me? But one thing we do know, when we walk through suffering and injustice, we walk where Jesus walked. Peter says that we then follow in his steps. In fact, Jesus walks there with us. Christ has faced the ultimate pain, suffering, and injustice on the road to the cross. He did so for us, for you, for me. Peter now encourages us to follow in Christ's steps, because when we face injustice and suffering for doing good, then we walk with Jesus in a special way. As we read in Psalm 23, these are such familiar words, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And then we discover that the next phrase really is true, "For you are with me." At that point in the psalm, it's like Jesus comes right next to us. Before he was he, now he's you. He's right there. Jesus walks through the valley of suffering with us because he has been there before us. He knows that path intimately. And he does not leave us to walk it alone. Jesus walks it with us. More than anyone else who has ever lived, Jesus suffered flagrant injustice and painful cruelty, and only for doing good. I mean, none of us is perfectly innocent in the way we live, and even when we suffer for doing good, we do so very imperfectly. But not one speck of Jesus' sufferings was because of his own sin or because of his impatience or his pride. He didn't bring it on himself in that way. In verse 22, Peter quotes Isaiah 53, which we read at the beginning of the service. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. None of Jesus' suffering was due to his own sin, for he had none. All of his suffering was due to our sin. Now, we find it unfair when we suffer bad treatment for doing good, but Jesus suffered bad treatment not only for doing good, he also suffered it because of the bad we had done. The beginning of verse 24 tells us he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. I was at a loss to illustrate this with actual human examples, but it would be something like this. If that pastor that I referred to earlier was not only hurt while trying to help someone else, but then also when the violent perpetrator had been arrested, dragged into court, and found guilty and sentenced to a lengthy prison term, if then that pastor could step up to the judge and ask to serve the prison sentence instead of the guilty person, then that would be, in a small degree, something like what Jesus has done for you and I. Jesus came only to do good, but he suffered terribly. He faced injustice and cruelty, and he went further. Jesus paid the penalty for our crimes, for our sin that we committed against him. He was sentenced for our sin. Christ did good, and he reaped injustice. We did bad, and we reaped blessing. We sinned, and he was punished. He took our punishment, and we share in his reward. We read about this reward in verse 24, where it says that Jesus did all this so that we may die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. By Christ's wounds, we enjoy healing. Because he took the punishment we deserved, we can enjoy healing from all the scars of sin. We are given a new start, a new life. We are dead to the controlling power of sin. And we are given the ability to live for good. We are completely forgiven. We are washed clean of our guilt. Our shame is lifted away. And we enjoy healing from all the effects of sin. Brothers and sisters, is this fair? No, it's not fair. It's great for us, but it's not at all fair for God. We deserve punishment, but in this greatest instance of injustice in all history, Jesus takes the consequences we deserve and gives us the life that he alone deserves. It is not fair. It has been called the great exchange, but let's admit it, this exchange is not fair. We benefit immensely, but only because God himself has suffered terribly. It is not fair, but he has taken all the injustice upon himself. Verse 25 says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Because Jesus has done all this for us, because he suffered in our place, we can return to walk with our Lord like sheep with their shepherd. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death because he has walked there himself. When we suffer tragedy, betrayal, and injustice, we discover even more how closely he walks with us, for he knows those paths better than anyone. And he leads us on to green pastures. He walks with us all the way. Today, we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, when we remember how Jesus took our punishment on the cross. There's a profound hymn that says, May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Would you please stand with me and let's sing that hymn together.